KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a partly cloudy sky, 70 degrees in Atlantic. Looking forward to be partly cloudy here today with a high of 92. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. In state news, plans for a debate between Republican U.S. Representative Steve King and Democratic challenger Kristi Vilsack have been called off due to a disagreement over the debate format. Both campaigns had agreed to the date and location, but the King campaign wanted to use a format in which the candidates would ask each other questions. The sponsors wanted an opportunity for questions from constituents that would be posed by a panel. The debate had been slated for September 22nd at Iowa State University. The Ames Tribune was among the sponsors. Tribune editor Alexandra Hain says it's unfortunate because the goal was to give voters a look at the candidates beyond their standard speeches and press releases. A series of debates is still expected between the candidates. News time is 8:01.
Did you hear me?
Yeah.
What did I say then?
Just
what I thought. I think you need to get your hearing checked.
I hear just fine. Besides, Dave has hearing aids, and he hardly uses them. Says he spends a fortune on batteries.
Well, Dad's had hearing aids for 20 years now, and I heard him tell Mom he just bought a six-month supply and only spent around $60. I think there must be something going on with Dave's hearing aids. Maybe you should both go see Doug Leonard.
Having to spend a fortune on batteries is a common misconception people have about hearing aids. In fact, on average, batteries for both hearing aids should only cost about $10 a month. This is audiologist Doug Leonard at ASI. If the cost of batteries is what's keeping you from looking into having your hearing improved, I'd like to talk to you. I can clear up your misconceptions and alleviate your concerns. Battery expense shouldn't be a reason to avoid improving your quality of life with better hearing. Call today, ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
A slight improvement in the atmospheric moisture content yesterday prompted the Shelby County Emergency Management Agency to reduce the fire danger index from extreme back to high, where it had been for several weeks prior to Wednesday's extremely dry and dangerous conditions. Shelby County Emergency Management Coordinator Bob Seibert said the thunderstorms in the forecast for the next few days, and hopefully some of that rain will fall over Shelby County. Seibert is asking participating agencies in the county to move their fire danger signs back into the high category. He says while the explosive conditions the area experienced Wednesday have moved on and winds today and over the weekend are expected to increase and burning is still not recommended, you need to call the Emergency Management Agency in Shelby County at 755-2124 if you still feel the need to burn during this time frame. Fire officials say a lit cigarette tossed from a vehicle sparked a fire that destroyed 400 hay bales in a pasture near Hinton, which is in northwest Iowa. The bales were lined up along a fence line. Hinton Fire Chief Chad Beck says someone pulled up to a stop sign Wednesday and flipped a cigarette out the window, and that started the fire in the ditch. The fire spread to the first row of hay bales, and the winds kept driving the fire from row to row. No one was hurt in the fire, which destroyed all 400 bales. Each weighs about 1,800 pounds and is worth $300 to $400 apiece. Fire officials expect the bales to smolder for days. Iowa State University climatologist Elwin Taylor says the cooler temperatures and rainfall we've seen recently do not mean Iowa's drought is finished.
It definitely has not broken yet. It maybe has for a few locations, but for the most part, it is still with us.
Some areas of the country, though, have seen relief from the dry conditions come their way.
The southeastern United States is done with their drought. Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, we won't say done with the drought, but much moderated there and disappearing in places, but still at strength in the Midwest and out into the Rocky Mountains.
Taylor says about 80% of Iowa's rainfall comes from the Gulf of Mexico.
We are seeing a flow of moisture, at least a moderate flow of moisture from the Gulf of Mexico, and it's only at about half the strength or a little less than half the strength. So with that being weak, we're not seeing a real quick end to this.
While Taylor says factors influencing Iowa's weather are moderating toward more normal temperatures and moisture in the immediate future, he expects the drought to continue into next spring in most areas. John Whitaker, the state executive director for the USDA's Iowa Farm Service Agency, or FSA, announced on Thursday the continuous sign-up for the Highly Erodible Land, or HEL, initiative under the Conservation Reserve Program. Started July 23rd, and Iowa received a total allocation of 50,000 acres to enroll in that program. Offers will be accepted until either the state acreage allocation is limit is reached, or September 30th, whichever comes first. Whitaker says that CRP is a voluntary program that shows the commitment that landowners have to protect environmentally sensitive land. The initiative will accept offers with a weighted average wind or water erosion rate of at least 20 tons per acre per year for new cropland or CRP acres that expire on September 30th. However, existing grass stands that are not expiring CRP will not be considered eligible. Producers need to stop by their local county FSA office to determine if their land qualifies for the Highly Erodible Land Initiative and to receive additional location-specific details. Also, Secretary Whitaker said that the U.S. Department of Agriculture has designated 62 Iowa counties as part of the Secretarial Natural Disaster Designation. Farm operators who've suffered major production and or physical losses caused by the drought may be eligible for low-interest emergency loans. The designation makes the remaining producers in Iowa eligible for those loans. The Secretarial Natural Disaster Designation determines that as of August 15th, 35 Iowa counties are primary disaster areas, and they include locally Adair, Adams, Audubon, Carroll, Cass, Crawford, Dallas, Fremont, Guthrie, Hancock, Harrison, Mills, Monona, Montgomery, Page, Pocahontas, Pottawatomie, Sac, and Shelby counties. 32 Iowa counties are contiguous to that disaster area, making those producers also potentially eligible for the program based on the designation. The contiguous counties include Ringgold, Taylor, and Union. Whitaker says, with the designation, all producers who have suffered a loss due to a natural disaster are eligible to apply for an FSA emergency loan. With the various designations that have been issued, producers should contact their local FSA office to determine the application deadline that applies to you. A judge has dismissed a lawsuit brought by Iowa counties who claim that banks failed to pay millions of dollars in recording fees when they transferred the ownership of mortgages to create profitable but risky financial instruments. U.S. District Judge Mark Bennett dismissed the lawsuit brought by Plymouth County against companies that own a national registry tracking ownership interests for home loans. The lawsuit claimed the registry allowed mortgage companies to transfer loans to other banks to be pooled into mortgage-backed securities to sell to investors. It claimed the system violated Iowa law because they did not record each transfer of ownership and pay the required fees. Bennett ruled that Iowa law does not contain such a recording requirement and dismissed the lawsuit, which was seeking class action status on behalf of 99 counties. State regulators say Sioux City's riverboat can keep operating without a contract extension between the partner of the casino and its nonprofit partner. The Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission backed off on a threat to proceed with shutting down the boat if Penn National Gaming Company and the Missouri River Historical Development didn't agree on a short-term deal by Thursday's board meeting in Riverside. The commission last month refused to accept a contract signed by the partners that would have run through March of 2015. They instead approved an extension through March of 2013, saying it fits plans to seek bids for a land-based casino. Penn has gone to court to overturn the decisions that put the licenses up for bid and rejected the 2015 extension. And Atlantic Business has won a national award from a group of over 850 retailers. Geis Perry Jewelry owners Rich and Nedra Perry received the 2012 Diamond Importer of the Year Award from the Retail Jewelers Organization, or RJO. The award was presented during the RJO's annual gala held August the 5th in Milwaukee. Each year, that organization selects one jeweler who participates in international diamond buying trips to Antwerp, Belgium, and excels in the selection, grading, and promotion of diamonds and diamond jewelry. One retail jeweler is selected annually, who's demonstrated an outstanding commitment to expanding their knowledge of diamonds by traveling to the diamond capital of the world, Antwerp, and hand-select diamonds for their store and clients. State ethics regulators have dismissed an ethics complaint filed against Iowa Board of Regents member Bruce Rastetter, saying there weren't sufficient legal issues to investigate. The Iowa Ethics and Campaign Disclosure Board meeting in Des Moines Thursday voted unanimously to dismiss the complaint. Iowa Citizens for Community Improvement, or ICCI, a government watchdog group, had filed the complaint against Rastetter, a prominent Republican businessman, on June the 19th. The complaint alleges Rastetter misrepresented himself on financial disclosure forms by failing to list investments and income he gets from executive positions at corporations he oversees. Rastetter on Monday had filed an amended financial disclosure statement. Iowa CCI also claims he tried to use his influence as a regent to financially benefit one of his companies that's developing farmland in Africa. And taking a look at world headlines at this hour, forecasters don't expect Tropical Storm Isaac to become a hurricane today as it strikes the Dominican Republic and Haiti. But the National Hurricane Center in Miami says Isaac is likely to become a hurricane on Monday when it's expected to be over the Gulf of Mexico. It could also hit Tampa, the site of next week's Republican National Convention. One resident living near a massive wildfire in Northern California says she's standing by just in case she has to leave her vacation home in the town of Mineral. The fire officials say the dousing by air tankers and helicopters has helped stop the 44-square-mile blaze from spreading. The fire that was started by lightning last Saturday already has destroyed 84 structures. And orders for long-lasting U.S. factory goods, excluding the transportation category, fell last month for the fourth time in 5 months. That's a sign that manufacturing may be faltering. The Commerce Department said orders for durable goods rose a seasonally adjusted 4.2% in July. But excluding aircraft and other transportation goods, orders dropped 0.4%. Aircraft orders soared 54%. News time is 8:10.
Did you hear me?
Yeah.
What'd I say then?
Just
what I thought. I think you need to get your hearing checked.
I hear just fine. Besides, Dave has hearing aids, and he hardly uses them. Says he spends a fortune on batteries.
Well, Dad's had hearing aids for 20 years now, and I heard him tell Mom he just bought a 6-month supply and only spent around $60. I think there must be something going on with Dave's hearing aids. Maybe you should both go see Doug Leonard.
Having to spend a fortune on batteries is a common misconception people have about hearing aids. In fact, on average, batteries for both hearing aids should only cost about $10 a month. This is audiologist Doug Leonard at ASI. If the cost of batteries is what's keeping you from looking into having your hearing improved, I'd like to talk to you. I can clear up your misconceptions and alleviate your concerns. Battery expense shouldn't be a reason to avoid improving your quality of life with better hearing. Call today, ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
In our funeral announcements, Carter Grant Zelmer, a newborn from Creston, has died. Memorial services for baby Carter Zelmer will be held today at 1 o'clock at the Powers Funeral Home in Creston. Orrin Prescott, age 69 of Panora, died August 17th. There are no services planned, but a visitation for Orrin Prescott will be this evening from 5 until 8 o'clock at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora with the family present. Claire Peterson, age 99 of Avoca, died Wednesday at Avoca Nursing and Rehab. A massive Christian burial service for Claire Peterson will be Saturday at 10 o'clock at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Verley Stuva, age 86 of Fontenelle, died Wednesday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Funeral services for Verley Stuva will be Saturday at 10:30 at the Avondale United Methodist Church in rural Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has the arrangements. Janice Williams, age 86 of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Cass County Hospital. Celebration of Life service for Janice Williams will be held on Saturday at 1 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic is in charge of the arrangements. And a Norman Bryant Kading, age 88 of Casey, died Wednesday at the Guthrie County Hospital. Funeral services for Norman Kading will be on Monday at 10:30 at St. John's Lutheran Church in Casey. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart is in charge of the arrangements. That is a check of the news this hour, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.